I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the Brett Mega Show.
Let's hear it.
All right, guys, I want to start the show off with just remembering that today is 9/11. I think sometimes we can get caught up in our everyday lives and you just lose track because it happened like, what, 23 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't feel like these major milestones of 25, which is approaching, or 20 years ago, or whatever it is. But it is a day that we all remember where we were when that moment happened. And so I just want to just remind everyone that we had talked about this in other opportunities on the show when we had to, is life is for the living, that we will continue to live on our lives and continue to do the show what we do, but we also try to reflect and remember and respect that day. And so just take a moment to just remind ourselves where you were on 9/11 and just remember what this day actually means to all of us.
I also think it's really important to be transparent about your feelings with this. Talk to your family, talk to your friends about this. It can be a really, really heavy topic. It can be a scary day, no matter what you're doing. So I just encourage everyone to surround yourself with people today. Let them know that you love them. We're always open as an outlet as well if you ever want to talk about those feelings.
And it can be okay to like move forward, right?
Right.
Like it can be okay
exactly.
to be like, hey, like mm-hmm. we think about D-Day and things like and we any moment like in U.S. history, like we thought these days would live on and we would sit down and reflect on them and then you just start to move forward with your life. But you can also still remember 9/11 and remember the tragedy and those people who are no longer with us and those families who are just devastated, 3,000 lives lost
right.
on that day and 3,000
mm-hmm.
families and plus that were changed on that day. So you can remember it, but you can still move forward. We're going to move forward on the show. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to laugh today. We'll cry today. We'll do all the things that we normally do, but also just remembering that today is 9/11. And I think it's interesting today after the debate where the country does seem divided, Democrat or Republican, just remember what we felt like on that day where we all felt unified. Like on 9/11, I don't think anyone felt more unified. Everyone was proud to be an American. And I think right now the topic of conversation is who won the debate, but instead it should be who we are as Americans and how we win as Americans. And that's what the conversation
is. You know, it's so funny
like.
You said that. I can remember those days afterwards too. Just everybody wanting to help.
Yes.
Everybody coming together. I mean, we would take calls from, you know, people who just, I have a truck. Can I get to New York and help? Can I do something? And I think that you're absolutely right. You know, just coming together as a country.
We are going to, if you turn on the news today, you will hear a lot of people dividing this country, saying Republican or Democrat, who are you voting for? And that's good. That's a good thing, too, because you need heavy debate. Do you need people to have different opinions to open your eyes to things? But also remember that we also need unity as a country more than anything else, especially right now. And so just remember what it was like on 9/11. Remember that unity and just reflect, but also still try to enjoy your day, still go about your day and still do what you got to do. We'll be here with you.
Let's start with some good news.
I've got good news and good news.
Tell them the good news.
Good news?
Good news.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Well, today being 9/11, we're going to take a moment to remember those who died in the terrorist attacks at the World Trade Centers, the Pentagon, Flight 93, and all the first responders who died rushing in to help. There's going to be several tributes to the fallen today in St. Louis, but in New York at Ground Zero, relatives will again read out the victims' names as a way to remember their loved ones. The hours-long observance at the 9/11 Memorial in New York is almost exclusively dedicated to the names of the 2,977 victims at all three sites, plus the six people.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
People killed in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. All are read by relatives who volunteer and are chosen by a lottery. Some of these readers are the children of victims whose partners were pregnant. More and more of the young readers are victims' nieces, nephews, and grandchildren. And more young readers step in because it's still too hard for those who experienced 9/11 firsthand. We are slowly passing the torch to a new generation that never really knew 9/11 or even those killed during the attacks. But there is still good news, and that good news is that we continue to live up to the pledge to never forget.
I challenge everyone to take a second today and think about what it felt like on 9/12, like the unity in a world and a country that feels so divided. And just remember that so many of those, although it's important to move forward with our lives and continue to live our lives, struggle with that because mom, dad, brother, sister aren't there because evil happened. And the only way to overcome evil is through light, is through good. And so just take a second and be kind to each other. Treat each other like we're all in this together and we're Americans. And that's why I think it's important to never forget, right? Like, it's important to never forget because those lives are still affected. Even though you might not directly be affected, those people are.
Right.
And so just take a second to remind yourself that today is 9/11, especially on a day we're going to hear a lot about who won and who lost when we were debating against each other. Remember when it was like when we were picking up rubble together. This good news is brought to you by Together Credit Union. Check out their new Empower checking account at togethercu.org/empower.
Wow! I feel good.
Your good news is brought to you by Siteman Cancer Center with the Cardinals game time. It's the Cardinals and the Reds. Siteman Cancer Center, national leaders in cancer. First pitch is at 6:45. On our sister station, KMOX.
The polls are open.
Look, after last night's debate and all that heavy stuff, let's do a poll that is a little bit less serious on the Brett Megha Show. Let's just keep it traditional and the classic argument, chocolate versus vanilla.
I definitely am going chocolate, and this has been like a recent thing for me. I can't get enough of chocolate milkshakes. I'm kind of going on like my own voyage of finding like who has the best chocolate milkshake in St. Louis.
All right.
Yeah, I got to go chocolate. I mean, you know, there are times I feel I'm in the mood for vanilla, but if I'm in the mood for vanilla, there's got to be chocolate syrup. So chocolate is the call.
Absolutely chocolate. Yeah. I don't think I eat vanilla anything. Like, I don't even eat vanilla ice cream unless it's like on top of something, like chocolate all the way.
I know this is going to be a controversial hot take, but it's easily vanilla, and it's not even close. I think chocolate might be overrated.
What?
We all just voted it. Yeah. It is heavily rated.
Caramel is better than chocolate. Peanut butter is better than chocolate. Chocolate is just way down on the list of even like a topping for vanilla. Vanilla is the base of all that is awesome.
It's basic.
So is chocolate. That's why it's a basic. This is why it's a basic poll. But no, chocolate is overrated. Vanilla is creamy and smooth and delicious. It's just amazing. Vanilla is where it's at, guys.
No, I disagree. And think about how many different chocolates there are. Dark chocolate, milk chocolate.
Yeah, there's only one vanilla. Yeah.
I know. Thank you. That's all we need. Chocolate needed all this extra help and still couldn't get the job done.
Whatever.
The polls are open.
Hi, Sheila. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing just wonderful because I'm feeling a Sheila win and a Hannah loss. That's why.
We'll see.
All right. We're going to play Hannah's Homeschool. Five pop culture questions. I'm going to ask you, Sheila, the same questions as Hannah. Sheila, do you want to be the one who kicks out Hannah? You seem like you'd be good at kicking her out of the room.
Hannah, go on, get.
Yeah. Go on, get. I like that.
Go on, get. I'm going and getting.
All right, so Hannah will not be able to hear the questions as she stands outside of the studio, usually pretty awkwardly, because it's like all glass, but you can't hear anything, and it's just really, really uncomfortable for all of us, Sheila. But you're going to get them all right. I can feel it. Ty will go towards Hannah, though, all right?
All right.
All right, we just found out that Kendrick Lamar is doing the Super Bowl halftime show. Who did Kendrick Lamar have a rap beef with all summer long?
Oh, gosh. Eminem.
Okay. Which tennis tournament that recently just ended was Travis and Taylor seen at?
The U.S. Open?
Yep, all right. Sadly, we lost James Earl Jones at 93. Name any character he played or voiced.
Darth Vader.
All right. What does VMA stand for? VMAs are tonight. What does VMA stand for?
Video Music Awards.
Yep. You guys, she had it, okay?
Yeah, she already had it.
Yep. Trust me, I could give the same hint to Hannah as you'd probably tell me. I'd say video, and she'd be like, very. Very is what V stands for. And then who will host the VMAs?
That I don't know.
She's known for her twerking.
Oh, Miley Cyrus?
All right, I respect that. She did host the VMAs one time. Right. Mm-hmm. It is Megan Thee Stallion. All right, you got 3 out of 5. Let's see how Hannah does. We're going to bring her back in. Okay, Sheila?
Okay.
Hannah's homeschool!
Hannah's walking back into the room. We just got done asking Sheila 5 pop culture questions for Hannah's homeschool. Hannah was outside the room. It was glorious for a few minutes and a song.
Hey!
Sorry. And then she could not hear Sheila give the answers. She got 3 out of 5.
All right, average score.
How you feeling about the questions, Sheila? How do you think Hannah's going to do?
She'll probably do better.
No, you got this, Sheila.
Thanks for the confidence boost, girly.
No, believe in yourself, Sheila. All right, first question. Ty will go towards Hannah. These are the same questions I asked Sheila. Who did Kendrick Lamar have a rap beef with this summer?
I'm going to say Drake.
Yeah,
Drake. That was a really hard one.
Yeah. Which tennis tournament was Travis and Taylor seen at recently? We talked about it on the show the other day.
It was an open of some sort. I'm going to say the U.S. Open.
It was the U.S. Open. Yeah. Wow. Sadly, we lost James Earl Jones at 93. Name a character he played or voice.
Mufasa.
Oh, nice job.
Oh.
Yeah. What does VMA stand for? The VMAs are tonight. What does VMA stand for?
Video Music Awards.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. You know I used to watch every single one of those as a kid.
And then who will host the VMAs?
Who will host the VMAs? Megan Thee Stallion?
It is Megan Thee Stallion.
Wow.
That's 5 for 5.
Hey, hey.
Hannah's twerking herself in the studio.
Yes, I love me some Megan Thee Stallion.
All right, 5 for 5. Hannah came to play today. Sheila, you didn't beat Hannah, but you got to say this is Sheila and I got schooled by Hannah.
This is Sheila and I got schooled by Hannah.
Hannah's homeschool.
Brett better keep it. Brett better keep it moving.
All right, let's talk about what's trending besides the debate.
Right. Anything but the debate, please.
We're going to put 2 minutes on the clock. I'll read some headlines to Hannah, and then Hannah will either tell me keep it moving or tell me more just based off the headlines. That's how we all scroll through the internet anyways. We just look at headlines. List. This will be the most popular Halloween costumes this year.
Aw, what's it going to be this year? Dallas Cowboy Cheerleader?
Dallas Cowboy Cheerleader was on the list because of the Netflix special and things like that. Thanks to Google Trends, search data put what's going to be forecasting. What are people Googling? And some of the ones that are involved pop culture, Beetlejuice, Wicked Witches, Deadpool and Wolverine, all for things that are coming out. Also, Olympic breakdancer. Also is another one.
Oh, that's a really good one, and I feel like that's easy, too.
Yes. Campbell's Soup is dropping the soup because of goldfish.
That just sounds complicated. Keep it moving.
All right. It's because they own goldfish, and people don't even know that. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Oh. Yeah, and so they want to be known for, you know, their other products. Like, I'm like, who knew Campbell's Soup owned goldfish?
Campbell's Soup is just trying to make a comeback.
Comeback? You look like it went away.
Yeah, it never.
I feel like it has, low key. When's the last time you heard someone talk about Campbell's Soup?
Anytime.
They need soup.
Like, it's soup season now, too. Man, don't hate on Campbell's Soup. Americans say careers are the best for family.
Definitely not radio. Keep it moving.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's last on the list.
Speaking of work. Government officials have had to make a statement. It is okay to poop at work.
What'd they have to say about that?
So the health department in Australia went viral for a post telling people, poop at work. They say some people avoid it so much it's becoming a problem because they're ashamed of it. They're like, it's not healthy. And so they set out a statement that it's okay to poop at work, people.
Everybody, they have like Miralax on the counter. Oh, like, please, everybody, stop.
Remember the book, Everybody Poops?
Yeah.
Everybody poops at work.
That's people, I mean, people really do avoid pooping at work at all costs.
Oh, at all costs.
Yeah. So government officials have had to step in now, guys.
Brett better keep it. Brett better keep it moving.
Mega Minds.
All right, let's do the Megamind question of the day on the Brett Mega Show. 52% of moms admit to doing this when their kids aren't around.
I'm going to say that they eat their favorite food when their kids aren't around because they know if their little gremlins are there, they'll have to share it and then they won't get it the same and it just won't be a good experience. So I'm going to say they save their favorite stuff for when they're by themselves.
Snack game.
I'm going to say swear.
Oh, just dropping some swear bombs.
Potty mouth.
I'm going to say they complain about their kids. Ooh. So I guess the other 50% just do it to their face.
52% of moms admit to doing this when their kids aren't around. That answer's coming away in two songs.
Mega Minds.
Let's give you the answer to the Megamind question of the day. 52% of moms admit to doing this when their kids aren't around.
Abby texted in and said, dance around the house naked.
Is that true?
Wow.
I guess.
Okay.
Kids are out. Get rid of these clothes.
Joy texted in and said, moms clean the kids' rooms when they're not around. So tidy up. Saline says, take a nap. Teacher Suzanne said that she would do that too. Thurman says, sip some Chardonnay. Debbie says, have nookie. Whoa. Teacher Carmen texted in and said, watch their kids' shows. So, like, maybe, like, get ahead in a TV show.
Okay, watch their kids' shows is different than getting ahead in shows, because those are two different worlds, I feel like. Kids' shows is closer. It's something your kids like to do, and you do it when they're not around. It's play their video games.
Really? 52%?
Some moms admit they play their kids' video games when they're not around. They're like, I'm going to bust out. I've been trying to get into the rotation
here. Exactly.
Why do these kids like it so much?
I'm curious what my wife's skins are on Fortnite.
Mega Minds.
Craziest couple I've ever heard of in my entire life. There is zero chance we get anyone to call into the show, but we're going to throw it out there and see if you are like this couple. Do you guys not have assigned cars in your marriage, in your family? You just like grab whatever keys off the table. 314-531-9898. I saw this tweet about from a friend, and I was like, oh my God. And they don't know the person. Like, oh my God, I just found out from a friend of mine that a couple they know doesn't have assigned cars. Like, they just, like, not his car or her car. They're like, oh, whatever car I'm feeling today, I just grab the keys and I take off and I leave for work that day.
Really? How does that work? Because I think about the stuff that my wife has in her car and the stuff I have in mine.
Yeah.
And some of that stuff you need for work. Like, some of the stuff we need is to get into the building.
Right. Like, we only get, like, one garage door opener for our job. What about, like, just insurance, like everything. Like, I don't even understand
that. Car insurance is a great point, too.
But that stuff's mostly digital now. I feel like most people keep it in their phones. I feel like if you got your ish together, which most of us don't, you don't leave a lot of stuff in your car. You just grab your, like, work bag in and out. So I'm not trying to defend them here a little bit, but it's not crazy.
You just get comfortable in your
driving.
Car.
Yeah. Like, the seat thing. Don't mess with my seat.
That's a great point.
So unless they're the same height and they never have to change anything in the car, like, that just seems insane.
I also think it'd be really, like, complex to have, like, the same car style or, like, people keeping their cars, like, the same amount of, like, cleanliness, too. You know, like, I feel like a lot of couples, like, one of them is a clean person and one of them might be, like, a little more cluttery with their vehicle. So I feel like that would affect it, too. And I personally would never do this because my car is my baby. Like, get your mitts away from my car, okay? I have, like, a Jeep Compass and my family calls it my Bugatti because I treat it like a Bugatti because I think it's the coolest thing ever. So I would never let people just drive my car.
I think it's crazy, too.
Yep.
I don't think we'll find anyone else.
No, I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of this. The other thing that people, like, wrote back onto it, like, it's like people who don't have, like, assigned sides of the bed. Like, that's weird, too.
That's just as crazy.
Yep. And the other thing that people related to is everyone has, like, a signed coffee mug / like, to-go cup. And people, if you just swap them out, like, that's weird, too. Mm-hmm. I think, like, when you're in a marriage, there's, like, his and hers. Like, that's, like, you sleep on the same side of the bed, you drive the same car, you drink from the same mug. Like, my wife has a favorite mug, I got a favorite, like, everyone has, this is crazy. No one else out there does this, right? Like, you just, and you, only the only way it works is they have the exact same car. Like, both people got Jeep Compass.
Yeah.
Because like usually like they're two completely different cars. Like you got an SUV and like a car, right? Like usually that's how people do it. I don't know. 314. We're gonna try it. 314-531-9898. Basically, we're saying wait right after Sabrina Carpenter. Find out if any other couples are crazy here in St. Louis on Y98 St. Louis. TSO tickets coming your way in like 5 minutes from now while we're commercial free on the Brett Maga Show. We're looking for some crazy couples out there. I saw this like on my social media that somebody else, because this is how rare it is, somebody else I knows somebody who doesn't have assigned cars. They have like two cars. One isn't hers and one isn't his. They just wake up every morning, grab whatever keys they want, and they just pull it out of the garage and take off.
Surprise.
I would stop being friends with them.
Yeah. That is a little crazy, I think.
If I just saw him, and like all of a sudden you just pulled up with the white car, and the next time I see you pull up with the black car, and the next time I see you pull up with the white car, I'm like, all right, bro, you can't be trusted. What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, that would freak me out.
It is kind of shady.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. 314-531-9898. Well, there's no way we find anybody who does this. It doesn't have signed cars. Pam, do you do this?
God, no. I have my car.
Yes.
My husband has his car. He is not allowed to drive my car, but I drive his car all the time.
Okay, that makes sense.
That sounds like my wife, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like any kind of, that sounds like a normal marriage. You're good. Mm-hmm. We could be friends.
Yep.
Because, yeah, the wife can call the shots. My wife, we're actually the opposite. My wife won't drive my car because she only likes to drive her car. But I'll sometimes like have to mix it up and things like that. But there's a my car. Even my three-year-old's like, dad car, mom car. Which car are we taking?
Yeah.
Everybody knows. Yeah. That's crazy talk. Taryn, you do this?
What?
Yep, me and my husband do.
Why?
So we purchase new cars at the same time. We do this every year. And to get it out of our system, we drive each other's cars, and then we wait a few months. And out of pure laziness, when we are out of gas or we switch kids, we switch cars. And just take whatever car has the most gas. And we usually don't tell each other, so we just take off in whatever keys we grab.
Wow.
This just feels like playing roulette.
Like, I also feels think crazy. Like that's like awesome that you're able to buy a car at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we normally do. And like the funny thing is, I won't tell him, and he won't tell me. So then we'll go outside thinking we have our own cars, and we switch them.
Yeah, I just feel like you're trying to get your, like, I do stupid things on a regular basis where I feel like I'm trying to get into an argument with my wife, but, like, this just feels like you are purposely trying to start an argument, because, like, nothing would make, I think, anyone mad as you get in the car, like, oh, I got the empty car, and it's like, sucker! Like, what? Like,
oh, yeah.
Right? Like, that seems crazy.
Running late for work. I had it ready.
Right.
Monique, you do this?
I do this.
Really? You and your significant other don't have assigned cars. Why?
No, because we kind of go through different cars, and we switch up cars quite a bit. You know, we kind of buy, sell, and so sometimes it's just, you know, whatever car needs to be worked on, or whatever, you know, somebody has planned the next day, if we're, you know, we got to haul some stuff or something like that, then we just kind of take whatever we need.
Cars are not like sweatshirts.
Yeah.
I was just kind of feeling that whatever in the closet today.
UV today.
Wow. I feel like it's kind of like luxurious to do that. Maybe that's why I don't understand it.
Yeah. I just think, thank you so much for the call, by the way, Monique. I think it's crazy we found people that do this.
We got a text following Taryn's call that said there's no his and hers. There's hers, and he just gets what's left over.
Right.
That's how I thought life worked, guys.
Yeah.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets right after Justin Timberlake. You're 3 minutes away on Y98 St. Louis. Commercial free on the Brett Maga Show. A reminder as you're going about your day. Today is 9/11. So just take a moment to reflect. Think about where you were on that day 23 years ago. And although it does seem like everything seems to change and it doesn't seem like the whole world stops on 9/11 anymore, just take at least a deep breath and remember a couple of things, especially the day after a debate where it seems like the countries feel so divided left to right and who won this and who won that. Remember how unified we all felt. So just take a second to think about those lives that were lost and changed on 9/11. One of the biggest traditions here in St. Louis, and should be for everybody for the holidays, is going to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
so freaking cool. I feel like it's not Christmas until the Trans-Siberian Orchestra comes into St. Louis.
We got TSO tickets for you for a great date, December 18th at the Enterprise Center. These tickets are yours if you're caller 18 right now. 314-531-9898. Get you some TSO tickets if you're caller 18. Hannah, what's coming up in the Hollywood hashtag?
The large Swiftie fan base might have been cut in half. I'll explain why in just 3 minutes.
We're still somehow commercial free, and we have TSO tickets to give to you. Melissa, how's your morning going?
It's going fantastic now.
Yeah, now it's going real fantastic.
Ah, lucky,
yeah.
Lucky girl.
Yeah, you're calling 18, Melissa. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
So tickets for you December 18th at the Enterprise Center, okay?
All right, thanks so much.
Hold on, we'll get your info same time tomorrow if you want to win those TSO tickets. Hannah's ready to tell you everything that happened in Hollywood.
It's going down, down, baby. Stories out of Hollywood. Come on. The hashtag, baby. It's ready, so here we go.
Last night, the presidential debate took place. It was a big night with lots of heavy discussions going on. But one of the biggest things that happened last night actually took place on social media, news with Taylor Swift. She made this big old Instagram post giving her full endorsement to presidential candidate Kamala Harris. This actually took place post-debate, and Taylor posted on her page saying, "I'm voting for Kamala Harris because she fights for the rights and causes I believe need a warrior to champion them. I think she's a steady-handed, gifted leader, and I believe we can accomplish so much more in this country if we are led by calm and not chaos. I was so heartened and impressed by her selection of her running mate, Tim Walz, who has been standing up for LGBTQ rights, IVF, and a woman's right to her own body for decades." Also in this post, Taylor was very vocal about how she encourages everybody to make their own choice. She was stating how she did her own research. This is her decision, but she encourages everyone to find out information and pick for themselves.
Everything that Taylor Swift does is so timely and scheduled and strategic. So she posted immediately after the debate. She did it with a cat picture and then signed it to like the childless cat lady taking shots at the Republican. But I always think these celebrity endorsements are weird. Like you shouldn't be influenced based off your favorite celebrity who they're voting for. But very much like Taylor, always the way she writes, she explained why she decided to come out and come forward talking about who she's going to vote for. It's because AI. There's been this AI-generated Taylor Swift endorsing Trump, and she said she addressed it in that post saying, "Hey, for some reason, this got posted on the Trump's website, so now I have to come forward and say who I'm voting for, and I'm making it clear because of artificial intelligence." And so then you're instead of going, "Oh, like, you have such a big influence on the younger generation," you're kind of like, "No, it makes sense.
She's clearing her name."
Yeah, like, you should, if people are going to pretend to be you, or AI is going to pretend to be you, you need to come forward and say, "No, this is where I stand," and whether that puts the line in the sand against Democrats or Republicans, it's whatever. It is more so saying somebody's pretending to say something I don't believe in, and this is what I actually believe in. So I totally made sense why she decided to come out and endorse a candidate.
Yeah, I think she was obviously very smart and very calculated with her response. It was very good. I loved the part where she was encouraging everybody to like do their own research and make their own opinion. But I feel like Taylor can say that all she wants and still Swifties are going to follow her left and right. So I think she did everything she was supposed to do. But Taylor is now involved in the big political world.
I don't think there's a bigger, younger generation endorser.
No.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Yeah.
There's no one else and that's what they keep saying. The middle and the young will decide this election.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
December 18th at the Enterprise Center. These tickets are yours if you're caller 18 right now. 314-531-9898. Get you some TSO tickets if you're caller 18. Hannah, what's coming up in the Hollywood hashtag?
The large Swiftie fan base might have been cut in half. I'll explain why in just 3 minutes.
We're still somehow commercial free, and we have TSO tickets to give to you. Melissa, how's your morning going?
It's going fantastic now.
Yeah, now it's going real fantastic.
Oh, lucky, lucky girl.
Yeah, you're calling 18, Melissa. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
So, tickets for you December 18th at the Enterprise Center, okay?
All right, thanks so much.
Hold on, we'll get your info same time tomorrow if you want to win those TSO tickets. Hannah's ready to tell you everything that happened in Hollywood.
It's going down, down, baby. Stories out of Hollywood. The hashtag baby is ready, so here we go.
Last night, the presidential debate took place. It was a big night with lots of heavy discussions going on. But one of the biggest things that happened last night actually took place on social media. News with Taylor Swift. She made this big old Instagram post giving her full endorsement to presidential candidate Kamala Harris. This actually took place post-debate, and Taylor posted on her page saying, "I'm voting for Kamala Harris because she fights for the rights and causes I believe need a warrior to champion them. I think she's a steady-handed, gifted leader, and I believe we can accomplish so much more in this country if we are led by calm and not chaos. I was so heartened and impressed by her selection of her running mate, Tim Walz, who's been standing up for LGBTQ rights, IVF, and a woman's right to her own body for decades." Also in this post, Taylor was very vocal about how she encourages everybody to make their own choice. She was stating how she did her own research. This is her decision, but she encourages everyone to find out information and pick for themselves.
Everything that Taylor Swift does is so timely and scheduled and strategic. So she posted
smart
immediately after the debate. She did it with a cat picture and then signed it to like the childish cat lady taking shots at the Republican. But I always think these celebrity endorsements are weird. Like you shouldn't be influenced based off your favorite celebrity who they're voting for. But very much like Taylor, always the way she writes, she explained why she decided to come out and come forward talking about who she's going to vote for. It's because AI. There's been this AI-generated Taylor Swift endorsing Trump, and she said she addressed it in that post saying, "Hey, for some reason this got posted on the Trump's website, so now I have to come forward and say who I'm voting for, and I'm making it clear because of artificial intelligence." And so then you're instead of going, "Oh, like you have such a big influence on the younger generation," you're kind of like, "No, it makes sense.
She's clearing her name."
Yeah, like you should, people, if people are going to pretend to be you or AI is going to pretend to be you, you need to come forward and say, "No, this is where I stand." And whether that puts the line in the sand against Democrats or Republicans, it's whatever. It is a more so of saying somebody's pretending to say something I don't believe in, and this is what I actually believe in. So I totally made sense why she decided to come out and endorse a candidate.
Yeah, I think she was obviously very smart and very calculated with her response. It was very good. I loved the part where she was encouraging everybody to like do their own research and make their own opinion. But I feel like Taylor can say that all she wants and still Swifties are going to follow her left and right. So I think she did everything she was supposed to do. But Taylor is now involved in the big political world.
I don't think there's a bigger, younger generation endorser.
No.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Yeah.
There's no one else in... And that's what they keep saying. The middle and the young will decide this election. Well, points to the Democrats on the younger generation.
Good luck to Republicans to finding anybody as influential or as big. Elvis is going to have to like rise from the dead or something to endorse Trump to make that even.
Especially when it comes to the younger generation.
Right. This has been Hannah's Hollywood Hashtag.
It just went down, down, baby. Stories out of Hollywood. The hashtag baby is done. It's time to go.
All right. I feel like I've been breaking a promise to everyone who listens to the show. And there's something on the show that I haven't even told anyone on the Brett Mega show yet. There's really no one knows. And actually, there's only a handful of people in our lives that do know. But I figured one of the promises that we always keep on the show is if it's happening in our life, they will share it with you. That's something we'll always do. The reason I haven't shared it yet is because I don't know what was happening in my life. And so that's the reason I haven't shared it. And now I feel like I can share it now with you. I want to get all the words correct and the story correct. So I probably have gone through what I would consider the scariest time in my personal life. Scariest is the proper word. So the story is a few months ago, back like at my son's birthday, it was like April is the first time like it became like an issue, is my wife had like a rash on her breast and she showed it to her mom. And she said, hey, mom, can you take a look at this? This is like weird. Like we're breastfeeding and it's just a weird rash. It's itchy, dry, and scaly. And her mom's like, yeah, I've never seen that before. And that was back in April. And then a couple of months had gone by and this rash like wasn't going away. And it was actually getting worse. And she had done some Google searching. And when you start to do that, it's a weird, dangerous game right. in the first yep. place. And so she went to go see, like, she's made an appointment with a dermatologist. But with dermatologists, you can't get in for, like, months. Right. It's like 2-3 months. And it would get worse and worse and worse. And so she went to her OBGYN, actually, not even our general, but, like, our OBGYN. And she said, hey, I can't get into a dermatologist. I have this rash. Can you guys get me in? And they said, okay, yeah, for sure. So they made an appointment with her. And the lady was like, this doesn't look like a traditional rash, like eczema or anything that we would know. You should go see a dermatologist, but we should make you an appointment with a breast specialist. And she was like, okay. And my wife texted me after that appointment because she went by herself to that one. And she said, man, she just acted weird, Brett. It made me nervous. And then she was driving home from that doctor's appointment and the lady immediately called her and Ooh. Said, hey, I was talking to some other doctors. We're going to move your appointment up and you need to go see a breast specialist immediately. And I just remember like the like ghostly white face my wife walked in with, like, why did they feel like they needed to move that appointment up? Why did they feel like that? And I was like, I still think everything's going to be okay. And then they called again the next day and they said, hey, we're going to do some scheduling for some tests and don't even work through scheduling. We want you to come in immediately. We think it could be this rare form. And they said it to her at that point. Then we think it could be like a rare form of breast cancer that can be kind of aggressive. And I just like, I remember like that day that they called and then we like set up these appointments and things like that. I was like, man, I am so young to be having these type of conversations. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then I remember the exact park I was sitting at. Like I went to this park and it's like, I feel like almost like another lie. Cause we just posted this video that like Kevin's the crier. And I said in the video, that I don't cry or whatever. I remember sitting at this park, a Shaw Park, and holding both of my babies, my 3-year-old and 1-year-old, in my hand. And I just started to cry. Like, I was like scared out of my mind. Like my whole world felt like, and nothing else mattered. I felt like, I don't know if you've ever had these, like these health scares or these health moments where like, I'm like not an anxious person. Like it takes a lot to rattle me. Like for the last 3 months of my life, my hand would just shake if I wasn't moving. And everyone, it's funny because like if you like listen to the show, everyone was talking about morning show boot camp. I don't know if you guys remember that. Everyone's like, Brett can't sit still. I could not. I had to be doing something because if I wasn't, all I would think about is my world could get shattered. And I, my wife, my everything, like I couldn't take away whatever she was feeling. And it was all the unknown. Like it's just like this crazy world. You start Googling this ish and you're just Googling it and you're like, and literally every symptom for this she had, it was like this rare form of breast cancer that like you have a rash, it's like it gets itchy, it's around like the nipple and the areola area. And so then we went in to do some tests and those tests did not come back clear and it was kind of like unknown. They're like had to run them a couple of times. And so then we got in to see like a breast specialist. And I was like, damn, like what? Like my mother-in-law even flew, like came in because we wanted to make sure I could be there and just support her. So she came in to take care of the kids. And all the while, I'm like trying to juggle the show and life and dealing with this crap. But the only thing you can focus on is your family, right? Like the only thing you can focus on is them being okay. And so we met with a breast specialist, and that was probably because the first time in like months we've actually heard like positive news. Like every time it was like, it's probably going to be this rare form, guys. This is not looking good for you guys. I'm like, why are they keep saying this? Why do they keep talking to us like this? And he was like, the first time he's like, guys, hold on. Like that is like 1-3% of people. Like some of those things came back inconclusive, but I was looked at some of the stuff. It could be like, you just have dense breast tissue. Let me look at this stuff. And he was like, let me, they want to do a punch biopsy, but my wife is breastfeeding and her breastfeeding journey with my daughter is so important. And he's like, this will wreck and change your whole breastfeeding journey. And I could just, my wife just started bawling. Like, this is my journey and it shouldn't be taken from me because of this. And it felt like she had no power over her own body, which sucked. And then it felt like I had no power because all I wanted to do was like whatever test you need to run it on me, please. Like, just let me shoulder this. And so he's like, let me, like a couple of weeks ago, we went into this and I had been like trying to juggle, like leaving the show. Like, and I feel like, I think Kevin or someone was like, man, you've been going to a lot of doctor's appointments, Brett, lately. And it's like, yeah. But he's like, let me try this cream. It's like a steroid cream and it will work for like, if it's any other skin thing, you know, like it's not going to work on cancer, guys. And it's only like a 1-3% of women that actually end up having this type of cancer. And we went to the doctor the other day and it had gotten a lot of like results. And he was like, guys, if you're getting results from this and it's clearing up the rash, there's just like, we can do a punch biopsy, but there's no way it's breast cancer. Like, I really feel good about this. Like, no one wants to dig their head into the sand and like, you guys could come back and we can run this stuff. But like, I feel like you guys should take a deep breath. And I remember like my wife and I, like after that doctor's appointment was like, that just recently happened, like saying that, we've been dealing with it for so long that it didn't even feel like a sigh of relief. It just felt like it was just part of like our journey. And I would just lay awake at night. Just like, we get up at 3:30 in the morning and I would just be like, oh my God, the clock is still going. It's midnight. It's 1:00. It's 2:00. Like zero. And then coming into work with like zero sleep because I couldn't stop thinking about this. And like, yeah, you would feel like at the end of the day, you would feel like, can I take a deep breath? And I don't know if anyone else has felt, I know other people have felt this. I know if other people have felt this and not gotten good news after a doctor's appointment, but just felt like you're just dealing with something so heavy that it just consumes you. And the fear of the unknown and the uncertainty and all these questions that you have, that was, man, it was driving me insane. I am somebody who's like, give me the bad news and let me just shoulder through it. The unknown for the last couple of months has literally driven me insane. So I just wanted to make sure that you all knew what I was dealing with. And this has been a long time for me to talk to all of you without playing any music. But I just want to thank you guys for listening. But I just wanted to share with you the journey that my family was going through, because I know that you might be going through something similar where you're not getting the answers you want, or you don't have any answers, and you're not alone. That fear is crippling. It's paralyzing. It's overwhelming. And so, and I also remember, like, I felt like there's a part of me that people didn't know, and like nobody knew. Like nobody knew. Like my brother didn't know. No, like my dad's like, I told my dad because he had dealt with this health scare stuff with my mom and been through health journeys. And he's like, you should talk to your brother. You should talk to other people about it. And I was like, I didn't want to talk to anyone about it until I knew what was happening. And we just got some answers and we feel like we're in a better place. And so then I'm just going to talk to, I didn't want to have this conversation over and over and over again either. So I was like, I'm just going to address it on the air one time. But I remember Kevin asking me recently, like, hey, how are you doing? You're always checking in on us. You're constantly asking, are you guys okay? And I remember I didn't answer the question. I felt bad. I just like didn't say anything. But like, yeah, I constantly check on other people, but sometimes you got to check in on yourselves, guys.
Yeah, well, you know, I can speak for everybody here. We are here for you.
Thanks,
man. And we will be here for you. And thank you so much for sharing and our, you know, our best to you, our best to Katie.
Thank you.
And hopefully everything's good and it will continue to be good and it will just continue to be better.
The strength and the courage that both you and your wife, Katie, have are, there's no words for it. You come in every day, you lead the show, you lead us, you're there for us. You are so strong through this, and I've seen you and your family in the past couple of months, and you guys do such a good job at like making sure your kids are happy and fulfilled, and knowing that you guys are dealing with this scare and this anxiety in your heads. It's so strong. I wanted to let you know that you're doing such a good job. You are doing such a good job. You're so strong. You know, I love you so much. I love your wife so much. Your kids.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry that you went through something so scary. I'm so sorry that both of you went through that. You did not deserve that.
I'll leave with like one last story to just show you like how kids get it more than we do. We're at Maggiano's like about a month ago or a month and a half ago. And it was hard to juggle both the kids like at the same time, and like the restaurant was going crazy. So I took my son. I was like, hey, let's go for a walk, because there's like all those like shops around there, you know, like in Brentwood, and there's a wishing well. And so my son asked for a quarter. He's like, can I make a wish? And he only had one coin. I was like, yeah, you only get one coin, man. And he threw it in and he goes, I wanted to wish for mom's boob.
Oh my gosh.
And I told my wife that when we got back in, and she goes, he did that all on his own? Like, you didn't tell him to do it? And I said, no. And my wife just started crying. Like, he gets it. Thank you. I know that was way longer than I thought it was maybe, but thank you for listening. Thank you for, I just thought it was important in my life, and so I wanted to share that with you guys.
Brett better keep it. Brett better keep it moving.
All right, keep it moving is where we'll cover all the trending stories. We'll put 2 minutes on the clock. This is everything that people are talking about. Like, Hannah will either tell me keep it moving or tell me more. Like, a guy shipped himself to his ex's home and then threatened her.
Shipped himself?
Yes.
How so?
This guy is crazy. So, yeah, this guy is going to jail after showing up at his ex's home inside of a box to her address. He showed up, then popped out of the box like he was a president or something, and had a gun, and then took off with the keys to the place.
They always say your exes come back, but not like that.
Yeah, the woman put a camera up in her house after this, but yes, this
good
is
idea.
Insane. Things that make people more attractive.
What?
Kindness, empathy, and being good terms with your ex.
What?
Yeah, they say like these are things that people find really attractive. They said that kindness and empathy are up there, and then also just realizing you can have a breakup and it not be ugly or you guys be bitter.
Don't have too good of a relationship. Yeah. That'd be kind of concerning.
ChatGPT defines what a perfect relationship looks like.
Computers don't know jack. Keep them moving.
Sometimes I feel like computers know more than us. You ever seen humans? All right, top 10 couple fights.
What are we fighting about?
All right, you never say I love you anymore was number 10.
Ow.
Skip around. We don't have sex like we used to at number 5.
I feel like that comes from the mail.
I never... Number like their performance issues. I felt like it came from like the woman not wanting it, but you're saying, well, because your performance sucks.
Yeah.
I never see you anymore is number 4. Three, why do you always flirt? Looking around. Number 2, you're more interested in your job than me.
Classic line.
And number 1, you spent how much?
Oh.
Yep.
Clearly.
Is that really a fight?
Oh, yeah. Spending?
Kevin
gets that because he spends too much on G.I. Joe's.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I don't even get to have a credit card because I spend too much.
For real?
For real, yo.
For real, yo.
Brett better keep it. Brett better keep it moving.
When you go on a date with someone, like maybe a first, second date, can you ask somebody who they're voting for? 314-531-9898. AB, you're the only single one on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the dating world. Is that a question? Do you think that is common in the dating world? Especially, I feel like with everything that's happening with the debate right now, after the country's so divided, the election 60 days out, do you think this is a common question, and is it an okay, appropriate question to ask?
I do think right now it's probably more common than ever, but personally, I think it would rub me the wrong way.
some guy was like, hey, who are you going to vote for?
I think there's more important things to talk about and like what's important in your life on the first and second date. I don't think that, at least for me, should be up there.
Do you think, because you learn a lot about who someone's voting for. You can learn a lot about where they stand on a lot of issues. So do you feel like it's a lot of, it could be a get to know you, Mike, moment? Or do you feel like that's a question you should never ask? Like,
it depends on how they approach it. Because I have people in my life who are like super pro one side or the other, and they don't approach it in the right way. And it almost feels like they're attacking you. Like, if you don't believe this, then like we can never speak again.
Interesting. And then I'm also curious, too, if you feel like you can date somebody or be in a marriage even when you guys aren't going to vote the same politically. 314-531-9898. Before Hannah worked on the Brett Megah Show, you worked for a Republican-leaning radio station, 97.1. It leans Republican. They don't run from that. That's what they're aligned with. And so you were as a producer. And so you worked in the political world. Do you think that's an important question for people?
I think it becomes more and more important when it comes to having a kid with someone or sharing a kid with someone, because I feel like it's then projected onto a child, and I feel like you might raise a child differently depending on your political views.
It's a solid point. I just feel like you shouldn't ask that when you're dating somebody, right?
I kind of agree.
It's old school. Maybe like you don't tell people you voted for.
It's one of those things that your vote is your personal choice.
Yeah.
And you may think somebody's voting one way and they may vote another because that's how they feel. Or they've always voted that way. Or they've really decided, you know what, that's the best candidate for me. And they may tell nobody. And you may think, oh, you're totally Republican. Oh, you're totally Democrat. But bottom line is, your vote is your choice.
Yeah.
It's nobody else's. And it, unfortunately, I think what happens is if you tell people, hey, I'm voting this way or I'm doing this, you kind of sway that other person either for you or against you. And I could see a right away coming out and telling somebody, you know, hey, I'm voting for so-and-so. They're all of a sudden like, okay, check, please.
That's what I'm afraid of. What I think ended up happening is we fall into these cliche stereotypes that the media, we're media, that is created, that like, if you're a Republican, you think this way. If you're a Democrat, you think this way. If you vote for Trump, you're going to think this way. If you vote for Harris, you'll think a certain way. So if someone tells you on a date, you might be like, I think most of us are in the middle. I think what the media points out to us is it's tribalism.
Extremism.
Extremes. Yeah. But I actually don't think that's really the case. And so when you're asking someone who you're voting for, you're like, basically, which team do you cheer for? That's a weird question for me, because I feel like you might be missing out on actually getting to know someone who is probably more like you in the middle, and who they are voting for, you wouldn't really care.
Yeah, I think if someone brings it up on the first or second date, though, it's probably so important to them because they're not in the middle and because they sway one side or the other so heavily. So for somebody to bring it up that early on, I do think maybe for them, it's like the end all be all. If you're not voting the way I'm voting, then
but
we can't.
Maybe, that's a great point.
But like, you're talking about the country, right? Like, they're making decisions that affect all of us. Shouldn't it be so important?
But there's only two choices you've got. It's not like your favorite NFL team or your favorite baseball team.
I just feel like, agreed. So you have to pick one. I just feel like you can talk about politics, but asking who you're voting for, it feels like you're fishing for information about you're going to rope them into a stereotype that may or may not be true, which I
do,
personally think is probably not true. We're not all left or right. We're all more in the middle, in the mushy middle.
I agree. And I think that you could be open with that response too. Like, I feel like you could be open. Like, you don't have to say, oh, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. I feel like you could say, I don't really like what's going on right now with either candidate, but I don't know. I do still think there is importance to it.
All right. Let's see if you're out there. Can you ask that question on like a first or second, third date? 314-531-9898. Can you have a conversation about who you're voting for in the dating world? Commercial free on the Brett Megah Show. Yesterday's debate that happened made me think, man, when you're in the dating world, do you ask people like, hey, who are you voting for? Is that a question that we're at this point? You know, being so close to the election with things like that you usually talk about that are happening in the world? Like, oh man, did you see the debate last night? Who are you voting for? Is that a thing you can ask? 314-531-9898.
We got a text saying, I don't think asking who you're voting for on a first date is appropriate at all. My dad and stepmom, who were married together for 20 years, didn't talk about who they were voting for. They agreed on a lot of things, but not all. The joke was always that they canceled each other's votes out.
That's funny. Yeah. I wonder if there's couples that are out there that are just like aren't going to vote together and have different opinions. You know, my house, I think my wife knows who she's going to vote for. I'm just like complete transparency, probably a little bit more undecided as a voter. And so like when we have conversations, you could tell that she's like feels more confident. And I'm like, man, the whole world feels like it's on fire right now. I don't know. I don't know anything. Right? Like that's the feel like, and I feel like, in the dating world, you start to have these conversations, but then asking someone who you're voting for, that feels personal, but that's the goal, right? We want to know who you are as a person.
Yeah.
So it's just really interesting. Taylor, how do you feel about asking someone who you're voting for early on in the dating world?
Yeah, I don't think that it's a topic that really comes up as much as it should.
Okay.
But I don't think
that's what AB was saying,
that
someone who's the dater of the show, and I'm like, how?
Yeah.
You don't turn on the news? Like, how is this not coming up?
It's just, I think it's one of those kind of like taboo questions that you don't really pose because, you know, depending on what this person may say. But, you know, and how you take it.
But AB will bring up religion early on.
I was just going to say, I think...
And that's supposed to be taboo, too.
But religion, to me, is the end-all, be-all. If somebody is not a Christian like I am, then I'm not going to proceed with the relationship. So if somebody does feel it's that important to them that they're a Republican or a Democrat and they're not going to carry on the relationship, I think it's okay for them to bring it up. Personally, if you are more in the middle, then I don't think it needs to be brought up.
Okay.
That's fair. But I don't know. I think when you like when you ask the question, depending on how that person answers, even if it's like a, hey, you know, like politics don't really matter to me or whatever, you know, that really tells a lot about a person. And it's just like not saying that like depending on the party, that depends on like how that person is 100%. No. But, you know, depending on what they say, definitely can tell you a lot about them, you know, if they're very one-sided or very the other. So, you know, that could also be a red flag depending on what they say.
I also think that a reason I'm kind of leaning towards more that I think this is okay is because I love transparency, honesty, and getting to know somebody. So I would hope that I could, if I was going on a first date with someone, that I could have those transparent conversations and ask those questions.
Great point. You know, and the other thing is, because people said you could find out who someone's voting for by just asking, like, the right questions. You probably know. I'm wonder if that's actually true. Like again, we have and the media has pointed out like it's black and right, left and right. But I feel like if you went around and you try to guess who someone voted for after the election, like on November 6th or whatever, like this person voted for, like, nope, Susan actually.
Wrong.
Voted for.
Yeah.
Like, it's because it's not as obvious as you think because we're all kind of in the middle, I feel like, more so than you think. Thank you so much for the call. It's a really interesting post debate night. Hannah, what's coming up in the Hollywood hashtag?
Beyonce has closed a chapter in one of her elements of her music career. I'll tell you what it is at 8:35.
It's going down, baby.
Beyonce is known and loved and admired for so many amazing different things. One of them being her music videos. People love them.
Yeah.
She's done so many over her career, but in the past two albums of hers, she has not done music videos, if you've noticed. Both Renaissance and Cowboy Carter did not have visuals at all to go along with the songs. Well, after many fans have been like wondering where these videos are at, like, is it just going to be released at a later time? Beyonce finally came out and said, I thought it was important that during a time where all we see is visuals, which is very true, that the world can just focus on the voice. The music is so rich in history and instrumentation. It takes months to digest, research, and understand. The music needed space to breathe on its own. Sometimes a visual can be a distraction from the quality of the voice and to the music.
Huh.
The years of hard work and detail put into the album that takes over 4 years. The music is enough. The fans from all over the world actually became the visual. We all got the visual on tour. So Beyonce is made a very, very strong argument, I believe, in saying listen, it's not about the music video. It's about the lyrics. It's about you and how you take in the music and like understanding the lyrical parts of it.
I feel like she's a trendsetter too. Like the Lemonade album was like a visual album. Like she was one of the first to ever do it. And so then now everyone's doing it. So it's like, okay, well, if everyone's doing it, I'm going to go back the other way. You know, like she just follows those trends and I think leads the way. And I think she felt like, the pendulum had swung too far in the wrong direction. Like it was really cool to see the music supported by visuals and have that come to life, but now it's gotten so bad where we're not focusing on the music, and now she's going to refocus us on the music, and I guarantee everyone will start following suit. Like what Beyonce does, we all do.
Yeah, I definitely could see music videos like phasing out more and more and more. And I also think it's a flex on Beyonce that her lyrics are that strong that she doesn't need anything else to support it. Like, congrats to you, Beyonce. So we won't see her at the VMAs, I guess, but she'll be doing other amazing things. This has been Hannah's Hollywood Hashtag.
It just went down, down, baby. Stories out of Hollywood. The hashtag, baby, is done. Oh, yeah, it's time to go.
Please, please, please try these things. They only take 15 minutes, and people are saying they make a huge difference in life. So I'll run through some of them, and then you tell me if you agree with them or not on if these things will actually make a huge impact and if you should try them. No, let's start on the list because they do rank them. And I think number one is not a 15-minute thing, but it does make a big difference. And then number 15 on the list, I think we all need to do, especially my wife, you know, sex. 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
15 minutes.
Yeah. I think I start to finish. They say, or a power nap, either one, but like just taking those moments to connect or sleep, reset. Number 12 is journaling.
AB, that's a big one for you.
Love journaling.
Calling your mom. Just make a 15-minute phone call because you don't do it enough. Making a to-do list. I've been big on the to-do list now lately again, guys. I'm back on my to-do list game. I was a big to-do list guy, and then I started slipping, and I feel like I was missing things. So now I've been back on my to-do list. It feels good.
When he X's something off of his list, he's like so aggressive with it. I always get proud of him.
I know. I am aggressive. Like, it feels good, yeah. Meditation.
Never do that.
Reading.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes. I'm trying to get into reading too. This is something I picked up. AB gave me her favorite book to read.
I did.
And I've been trying to do it like in short increments. I can't last 15 minutes.
So it's on your to-do list to read.
To read, yeah. And I'm like trying to, it's much like sex. I can't last 15 minutes. So I can't do it with the reading either. Same thing. I just have trouble. But I've been trying to read in short increments. Personal hygiene. Seriously, taking time to pamper and check yourself out.
Brush your teeth for 15 minutes
like
or what?
Wash your face, do like your nails.
Skincare.
That's something that makes a huge difference.
Pluck your eyebrows.
A hobby. You can't do a, what's a 15-minute hobby? Stretching. Taking 15 minutes to stretch.
I need to do that. I know. It's so bad.
It is. It's, oh, I've been meaning to do. And the top two. Guys, the top two are hilarious. An unrushed bowel movement.
Oh my gosh.
What a life's mini pleasures. Oh. Kevin's clapping. Yes.
Let's hear it for the unplanned bowel movement.
There's nothing like a good poop. There's nothing like it. And I'm telling you
Kevin,
right now.
Kevin, didn't he get socks? That's what you got for your birthday
that's
or something?
That's what I got, yes. Yeah, yes.
That's number one on your list.
Big deal, man. Uninterrupted. You can read. There's your reading time. It's all there.
Number one on the list, though, I do think it's longer than 15 minutes, but they're saying you could do it in 15-minute increments. It'll make a big difference is decluttering your space. Spend 15
that
minutes a day, declutter a little bit. You'll feel really good. Those are little tips that you can do in 15 minutes to make a big difference. And Kevin, unrushed bowel movements, number one on this list.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.